Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany, Spotlight on Regine Adams. My first guest on Spotlight on Regine Adams is Frank Robinson, and he's here to share his thoughts on Regine. So, Frank, you've known Regine for a long time. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
So you've known Regine quite a number of years.
Yes,
right?
Since the early 70s.
Oh, terrific. So you've been involved in Albany politics, and you wrote a book about Dan O'Connell. Before we get into a conversation about Regine, tell us a little bit about your book on the O'Connell machine.
Well, I came to Albany in 1970, and I was a big political junkie. And when I came here, I knew that there was something that was called the O'Connell machine. And I didn't really know anything much about it, and really even what I knew basically what a political machine was, but I didn't know any of the details about this particular one. And in fact, most political machines by that time had died off, but here was sort of a museum piece of a political machine that was still very much in operation. And Soon after I arrived in Albany, I started to write for an alternative newspaper called the Washington Park Spirit. And we did all kinds of articles about the, you know, the local scene, local organizations. I remember I did one about the library, and I did an article about the Institute of History and Art. So I sort of assigned myself to write something about Dan O'Connell, and I started to do research. And as I was doing research, it occurred to me that there was, you know, all of this wonderful material, very interesting stuff, and nobody had ever done a book about it. So I said to myself, I could do a book about this, and I did.
So
my book was a history of O'Connell and the machine, and also it was an analysis of how the machine operates, what makes it tick, how it was successful.
So is it still in print, and can people still get it?
You can still find it on Amazon and other websites like that, but it's not. I wouldn't exactly say it's in print. It was published in 1973.
Okay. So, because of your interest in politics, is that how you met Regine?
Yes, well, I became active in local politics, and I became active in various neighborhood things, organizations and stuff, and she was obviously a neighborhood activist, so our paths certainly crossed. And so we come in 1975. In 1975, I was Republican ward leader. Now, you have to realize that back in those times, the early 70s, the Republican Party was on the side of the angels in Albany. The Republican Party was the Reform Party, fighting against the corrupt old political machine. So as a ward leader in 1975, it was my responsibility to come up with a candidate for county legislature. Now, Republicans had never elected anybody in the city for any office since 1921. But my ward, which was the sort of the center square downtown ward, was one where there were a lot of students, there were a lot of people who were, you know, more educated, and it was that ward where Republicans had come closest to winning local elections. So in 75, I thought there was a possibility we could actually elect somebody, and I was looking around for a candidate. And I don't remember whether it was whether we approached Regine Adams or whether she was already developing the idea of running. I remember we did have some meetings with her and a whole bunch of other local activists who were sort of in her camp. And so now I had two problems. One was to convince Regine and all of the people who were backing her to accept the Republican nomination, because even though the Republicans were sort of the Reform Party in Albany at the time, the Republican Party still had this people on the left didn't like the word Republican, let's put it that way. And on the other hand, I had a hard time selling the people I was reporting to in the Republican Party, the county leadership. They were not keen on the idea of electing, of nominating this person that they considered to be a, quote, communist. Of course, that was not literally true. But Regine was certainly an activist on the left. And the Republican
right.
Party, even though it was in Albany a reformist engine, really didn't look at itself as being a left-wing party. So I was trying to get both of these things to work. And what actually finally happened was Regine ran in the Democratic primary. And we agreed that what would happen was we would not give her the Republican nomination outright, but have what's called an opportunity to ballot, which means our in the primary, Republicans would have the opportunity of writing in a name. So we had our voters write in her name. Spelling it was a little bit of a challenge. I've never been able to get whether the S comes before the Z or vice versa. But anyway, we wrote her in, and so she lost the Democratic primary. So after she lost the Democratic primary, she was given the Republican nomination. She accepted the Republican nomination and ran in November of 75 as the Republican candidate. And let me tell you, that was the one election where I really worked my heart out to try to win that, because I thought we had a chance to win. We didn't, but that's the way it happened.
So do you remember who the Democratic challenger was that won over
Yeah, I've been
Regine?
Trying to remember his name. His first name was Greg, and I can't remember his last name, but he was
okay.
a nothing burger, if I can use that expression. You know, he had, he was a very young guy. I think he's like 24 years old, and he must have been connected by family to some, you know, somebody in the Democratic Party. But he just had nothing, but, you know, he was their candidate, and they elected him, as they always did.
So he went on to serve?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So tell us a little bit about her run on the Republican ticket. You know, because they say name recognition is important, and I would assume by the 70s that Regine was pretty well known. So, and she was respected. She's always been respected. So do you think that people in that district just voted straight Democratic, even though Regine Adams was well-liked and respected?
Sure. Exactly.
Really?
Sure.
Wow. So did that
you have to understand that again, the machine wasn't successful for no reason. It had a lot of things that it was able to exploit to keep the loyalty of its voters. One of them was political patronage. One of the things that the machine was very good at was spreading money around by giving people all kinds of little jobs and goodies and making people indebted to them. And a lot of families remembered that even if the individual voter didn't specifically owe the machine something, somebody in their family probably did. And that was a powerful factor.
Okay, so let's go back to her race for a second. You said that her Democratic opponent in the primary was really unknown and kind of like a neophyte to politics. Okay,
yeah.
But Regen was well known. Why do you think she was not successful in winning the primary?
Well, for the reasons I just gave. The machine had a network of committeemen. It was called a machine because it operated like one. It had all kinds of gears and levers, and it produced results. And the committeemen would go out and knock on doors and ingratiate themselves to people by, again, doling out all kinds of little favors. Like another example was the property assessment racket. Now, when I first bought a house, which was actually later in 1979, as soon as I bought the house and moved in, who comes knocking on the door? The Democratic committeeman. He gives the line that was always given. Hey, you've just bought this house, and guess what? Your tax assessment has just gone up. I can help you with that. I can get that fixed for you and get your property assessment back down. Well, I told him to get lost because I had written the book and I knew the story. And the fact of the matter was that they always raise the property tax assessment when you buy a new house. But if you go down and you file the paperwork yourself, they'd reduce it. I was a registered Republican. They reduced it for me without the Democratic committeeman interceding. But most people didn't realize that. Most people believed that you had to go through the Democratic committeeman to get your assessment reduced. So a lot of people felt they were indebted to the Democratic committeeman and the Democratic Party for doing that for them. So that was just, again, one of the ways in which they maintained control.
Okay. Look, I'm fascinated over the fact that by the 70s, Regen was pretty well known. And my question is, why did the party not embrace her and choose a neophyte instead?
Because she was not with their program. She was not loyal to Dan O'Connell and Mayor Corning. She was a thorn in their side.
Okay. Wow. So was that the end of Regen's attempt to be elected to, a position on the city council or county government?
I believe that's correct, yeah. I think so.
Now, I know, see, why I'm doing this is I moved up to the Capital District in 1980, and at that point I had first learned about Mayor Corning, and then in 2009 when I moved into the city of Albany, that's when I became familiar with Regen. You know, a lot of my friends knew her, worked with her over the years, so I don't have that much knowledge about her, but I know that she was a mover and shaker in the city of Albany. So this is quite interesting. So tell us a little bit about the campaign itself, going out there and knocking on doors or sending out flyers. Tell us a little bit about the campaign in which Regen ultimately was not elected.
Well, there's another factor that I should have explained. When I came to Albany in 70 and up until 1975, again, the Republican Party was the enlightened side of the angels, reformist party battling against the old political machine. 1975 was a watershed year, and this is why. There was a woman named Teresa Cook. She just passed away, I think, last year. And she was battling the city over things like the budget and trying to get transparency. And she was just a citizen who felt that the citizens were entitled to more transparency than the city was giving. So, getting involved in all this stuff. And in 1974, she ran for county treasurer and was elected county treasurer as a Republican.
Uh-huh.
And the next year, in 1975, was the first year in which we were electing a county executive. We hadn't had that position previously. So 75, right. Teresa Cook, the great reformist, wants to run for county executive. Now, the Republicans would have nominated her, except she took a running mate from the ranks of the Democrats that the Republicans didn't like. It was a guy named John Barner. This John Barner had been a big thorn in the side of the Republicans. He was very active as to try to squelch a lot of this reformist stuff that was going on. But then all of a sudden he turns around and he joins forces with Teresa Cook, which seemed like a great thing. Here was, one of their guys was turning against them and going with us. But the Republicans so much hated John Barner at that point, they couldn't stomach the idea of teaming up with him. And because of that, and Teresa Cook wouldn't back down on having him as her running mate, the Republican leadership decided to nominate somebody else for county executive. So you had a three-way race for county executive: Teresa Cook, the Republican candidate whom they nominated, and the Democrat who was Jim Coyne. Do you remember Jim Coyne? Ultimately went to prison.
Yes.
So in that three-way race, Jim Coyne got elected with a minority of the vote. But what the importance of all of that was that whole business with at the county level had a negative impact on the local district races. It made it a lot harder for us as Republicans to prosecute the battle against the political machine. And that's one of the reasons why we were not successful in 1975. And in fact, 1975 was really the end of the Republican Party standing for reform in Albany. And I quit the Republican Party in Albany. I resigned as ward leader in the following year.
Okay. So after 1975, can you describe the importance or not really importance of the Republican Party in Albany?
It became unelectable. It became unelectable. We had won a lot of races in the early 70s. You had, Walter Langley, state senator. Arnold Proskin was the DA. In 1973, we came very close to beating Corning for the mayor election. But once the Republican Party blew it in 1975, that was the end of it. The Republicans have not ever since elected anybody at the county level.
Or city level.
Well, yeah, that's true, certainly.
Right, right. So, in this scheme of things, as you look back and, Regin is still, she's still with us. She's going to be 92 next month. From your perspective, What do you feel, or why do you feel, what's the importance of Regine Adams in the city and county of Albany?
Well, she was actually one of many people, one of the more prominent ones, but one of many people. There are many good people in the city of Albany who have tried to make life and the city better. And for a lot of years, it was an uphill struggle. But in a lot of ways, ultimately, it was successful because the old way of doing things ultimately did dissolve away. And Albany did ultimately become a more or less normal city with normal politics and normal governance. You know, there still are vestiges of the machine. They still have the Democratic committeeman structure and all that, but it just is not like it used to be. It is, again, a more or less normal city. And look, you know, look at the fact of who's been elected mayor, Kathy Sheehan. Not that I'm a great – I supported Kathy Sheehan, but I've become disillusioned in some ways about her. But the fact is she's a normal mayor in the way that civics is supposed to operate.
Wow. Wow. So there's I'm going to be doing more interviews with people that have known Regine over the years. And I want to thank you for being the first person to share your thoughts on Regine. So, Frank, in the final moments, tell us a little bit about you. You're no longer a Republican, correct?
I quit the Republican Party in May of 2017 because the Republican Party became the party of lies, bigotry, and craziness.
So all these years you've been a Republican?
Yep.
Wow. Wow. So this is very interesting, and I hope to hear a lot more stories like this. So you've been listening to Frank Robinson, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have something to share, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thanks, Frank, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.